And as another beautiful thing is our very special guest that we have today, who I'm going to introduce to you now, none other than Patrick Novakovsky, who's on, going to be on with EW10 Live tonight with my mentor and friend, Father Mitch Pacwa. He's going to talk about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. Now, Patrick is one of America's most accomplished Catholic communicators. He's the winner of more than 24 awards from the Catholic Press Association of the United States. He's written some of America's top Catholic publications, written for some of the best publications, including, of course, the National Catholic Register, or EWTN, Our Sunday Visitor, Catholic Digest, and many others. He's an award-winning journalist, winning the Bernardine O'Connor Award for Pro-Life Journalism from Priests for Life. And throughout his career, he's written for magazines and newspapers all across North America and Europe that have been published in multiple languages. He is the managing partner of Nova Media. And he used to be the editor-in-chief for Legatus magazine for over 12 years. He was born in Canada. And but now resides in Florida, in the United States. So I'm really thrilled to introduce you to my good friend and colleague, Patrick Novakovsky. Patrick, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Deacon, so good to be here.
All right. All right. So, Patrick, so now you've been on EW10 radio before. It's going to be your first time on with live on television with Father Mitch.
Yeah, so excited.
Huh?
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
You're going to be awesome. Oh, man, people are going to love you, man. But for now, Patrick, why don't you just introduce yourself to people? I mean, this is your first time on the show, and people may not know who you are. Just tell a little bit about your story, your walk with God. You know, are you a convert? Are you a revert? And just so people get a sense of who you are.
Yeah, I grew up
in your faith journey.
I grew up in Saskatchewan on a farm. I'm the second of nine kids from a big Catholic family. My parents are my heroes. They raised us to love the Lord. You know, I finished college. I wanted to write for Rolling Stone magazine, so I went to college and started writing entertainment news. And my editor said at one point, you know, if you want to write entertainment really well, you need to learn how to write news. So I started writing news, and I found out that, you know, the people that I was interviewing in the entertainment industry weren't really all that smart, but the people that I interviewed for news were exceptionally smart, and I started learning so much from them. So I kind of steered the ship into news, and then finished my first job out of college was for a Catholic newspaper in the Western Canada. And before long, I was writing for another Catholic magazine in Southern California, moved to the United States when I was 27. And the biggest thing that ever happened to me was working for the Marians of the Immaculate Conception on Eden Hill in Stockbridge. I was there 5 years. During that time, I met John Paul II 5 times in person. Fundamentally changed my life. Left the Marians in 2001, met my wife, who was working for one of Tom Monahan's schools that he started in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's how I got to Legatus and Ave Maria Law School. And the rest is history. You know, John Paul II would have turned 100 years old in 2020. I wrote a book called 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. And I had the great honor and privilege of being at St. Faustina's canonization, which just happens to be 25 years ago today.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Oh, man. What a blessing.
Yeah. So
what a blessing.
And the neat thing is that John Paul II said the day he canonized Faustina was the happiest day of his life. And
wow.
That was 25 years ago to the day today.
Wow. How awesome is that? You know, Patrick, let me ask, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned the fact that, at least for me, anecdotally, as I travel around, I'm seeing, I don't know if you call it a resurgence, but definitely more interest to Divine Mercy and to St. Faustina. Are you noticing the similar as you travel around?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the seeds that John Paul II planted when Faustina was beatified, canonized, and he wrote his great encyclical, Divas in Misericordia, in 1981, But John Paul II had been so intimately connected with Faustina from the very beginning. He moved to Krakow in September of 1938. She died in November of 1938. The following fall is when the Nazi tanks rolled into Poland and the Second World War began. When he was working at the rock quarry in Krakow during the war, he would pass by her tomb on his way to the chapel where she was buried. Father Mitch told me this today, that he was one of the first people to start praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet before he was even a seminarian. So wow. John Paul said that Providence placed him where he was in history so that this unpacking of God's mercy that he gave Faustina could be given to the entire world. And it's really remarkable. You know, he was named Archbishop of Krakow, and he opened her canonization cause. He authenticated her diary. Interestingly, there was a 20-year ban on spreading divine mercy, according to her diary, because during Nazi-occupied Poland, they could not authenticate that it was real, that anything. Yeah. So he put his top theologian in charge of authenticating the diary. And guess what? It was authenticated 6 months and one day before he became Pope.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, I know there were translation problems with it, too, until they got the theologians involved. So, awesome. All right, looking forward to diving more with Patrick Nowakowski talking about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
If you missed any of today's show or want to share it with someone, you can find Beacon of Truth on demand at EWTN.com/radio.
With news from EWTN's Vatican Bureau, you can watch all of the important events from Rome, even if you don't have TV access. Using the latest technology, we've made it possible to watch the latest news from the Holy See, all delivered directly to your home via live streams. Watch live on EWTN's YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
This is a Pro-Life Minute with doctors Stephen and Gracie Christie.
Steve, as a doctor, this argument really burns me up. Abortion is simply a normal part of women's health care and a critical element of women's reproductive health. What's your answer to that?
Right. I simply ask, when did lethally injecting a living unborn child or tearing it limb from limb and suctioning it from his mother's womb somehow become health care? We all know exactly what healthcare is. It's treating the diabetic, it's setting the broken bone, performing open heart surgery. Killing a living unborn child has absolutely nothing to do with healthcare.
You know, really, if your healthcare kills people on purpose, then you're clearly doing it wrong. And keep in mind that 95% of all abortions are performed on healthy babies of healthy moms. Abortion is not healthcare.
For more on the culture of life, go to EWTN.com/pro-life.
The way, the truth.
This is EWTN Radio.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll discuss St. Joseph the Worker on his feast day and get you all the latest news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Now back to Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
I love that. Keep it with that kind of Motown feel.
Even though it's old school, like you could put some rap over the top of it, like Lauryn Hill or something.
See, exactly. You know, yeah, I can see somebody rapping over this or something like that. You know, yep. Just kind of just like vibing.
Patrick, are you a musician?
I am not, but I aspire to be one.
Okay.
I have a banjo in my closet. I need to learn how to play it.
They always say, Mom, I want to be a drummer when I grow up. And I go, you can't do both. So, yeah.
You know, I was going to chime in a little earlier when you're talking about Dan Hill. You know, he's Canadian, too.
Oh, is he?
Yes, sir.
Well, how about that? All right.
We're setting the mood for the day.
A little bit of Canadian history for you.
Oh, very good. Very good. And I don't watch television, but I saw something, I think, on EWTN News Tonight. They just elected a new prime minister.
Is that right? Yep.
Okay.
The Liberal Party is back in power, Justin Trudeau's party.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Well, we're in it for the long haul, not for the short term.
That's right.
How about that damn hill?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And we have to remember who's really in charge is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest. Again, if you're expecting Word of God Wednesday, which normally happens on Wednesdays on Beacon of Truth, we are foregoing Word of God Wednesday today because you have a special in-studio guest who's going to be on with Father Mitch Pacwa tonight on EWTN Live, Patrick Nowakowski, talking about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. If you have any questions about the devotion of St. Faustina or St. Faustina herself or Divine Mercy or John Paul II's relationship St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget, EWTN brings you the Holy Rosary as we pray with you each and every day, and we've been doing that for over 30 years now, so make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, 5:30 Eastern with Mother Angelica, or in the evening at 9:30 with Father Benedict Groeschel. You can check it out only on EWTN Radio.
All right. So again, our live guest today who's in studio at the EWTN Network is Patrick Nowakowski. Patrick introduced himself in the last segment, but just in case you weren't here, he's one of America's most accomplished Catholic communicators. He's won multiple awards for his writing, including for the National Catholic Register, right, produced by EWTN. Patrick is also an author. He wrote a phenomenal book on John Paul II, when John Paul II would have turned 100 back in, I think, 2020. Yep. So he wrote a book on John Paul II, and now he's going to be talking about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. So, Patrick, we know your love for John Paul II. I mean, that's clear. But how did you get interested in Faustina and Divine Mercy?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I moved to the United States in 1996, I was introduced to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I had never heard of it. And then she was Blessed Faustina. Mm-hmm. And was fascinated. You know, we're praying the rosary as a group at U Magazine. Some of you, your older listeners, might remember U Magazine before that, Veritas. The young people that I was working with, we prayed the chaplet at 3 o'clock every day in the office. Super cool. And then after being there for almost a year, I got a fax. That's how we communicated back in the 90s, by fax, that the Marian Fathers were looking for an assistant editor for their Marian Helper magazine. I applied. They hired me. I moved to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, which is really the heart of Divine Mercy, the message and devotion in the United States, the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. So I kind of got soaked in it right away. And this is really cool. One of my co-workers at the Marian Fathers was the beatification miracle for St. Faustina. So I got to work with Maureen Digan, who had an incurable disease that was cured by praying at St. Faustina's tomb while Poland was still under communist rule. She went there with Father Serafin Mikalenko and prayed at the tomb, instant healing, beatification miracle. So I kind of got, you know, how John Paul II, I said, Providence kind of set, God's providence set him up to play a role in unpacking this message of mercy from Jesus to Faustina. God kind of did the same thing with me and kind of dropped me into Stockbridge, where I was just immersed in this message and devotion, got to meet the Holy Father 5 times. So again, it was just providence. And then I got to meet the canonization miracle, a priest from the Diocese of Baltimore who was cured miraculously on St. Faustina's feast day when his parishioners prayed over him with a relic of St. Faustina, instantly cured. He had a heart ailment that was instantly cured. And he celebrated the Mass, the canonization Mass, with John Paul II 25 years ago today.
Wow. That is so awesome. You know, because I got into Divine Mercy through John Paul II. as well. I mean, when I started studying John Paul II's thought more formally, you know, he wrote those Trinity of encyclicals to start off his pontificate, Redemptor Hominis, the Redeemer of Man, about Jesus. Then
Divus et Misericordiae,
Rich in Mercy, about God the Father. And then Dominum et Vivificantem, the Lord and Giver of Life, on the Holy Spirit. But that second one on mercy, I just loved it. I've never heard a church teacher or anything about mercy the way he expressed it there. And he did mention St. Faustina. So I thought, oh, okay, let me learn more about this whole divine mercy and the chaplain and all of that. And that's how I got into it. All right. Well, we're talking with Patrick Novakoski today about St. Faustina and divine mercy. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. Any questions about St. Faustina or divine mercy, 833-288-3986. Victoria is calling from Southern Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 130. Victoria, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon Harold.
Yes, great to hear from you.
So my question is, on Divine Mercy, it's for Patrick, on Divine Mercy Sunday, I went to Mass, and then at St. Mary's Bryantown, they had a... You did the Divine Mercy chaplet, and then I went to confession. So I was told that if I died that day, I'd go straight to heaven and pass purgatory. So how long did that last?
Great question. Well, I guess until you commit a mortal sin, you also have to be free from detachment to any sin, and to pray for the Holy Father. You can do that even though he has passed on to our Lord, but that's part of it as well. For it's in a sense a plenary indulgence, which is so good because we're in the Jubilee year, and you go to any church that's designated as a church for the Jubilee, a pilgrimage site, then you can basically get a plenary indulgence every single day. And my parish in Virginia just happens to be one of those parishes. My pastor's going all out. We're praying for the Holy Father's intentions and getting that plenary indulgence. So it's really, what a blessing.
Yeah, and Victoria, the plenary indulgence lasts until you, because to get the plenary indulgence, it means you go straight to heaven. That means there's no purgatory. I mean, you can't have any attachment to sin at all. You know, which is, I mean, so as soon as you have your very first sinful thought, bam, you know, so it becomes a partial indulgence again, which can be, indulgences can be received through, or the forgiveness of the temporal punishment of sin can be received through indulgences on earth, or which is plenary, the full remission of the temporal punishment or partial part of it, or after death in purgatory. So, yeah, Patrick's spot on. You can receive a plenary indulgence every day, you know, and just hope that you don't have a sinful thought. That way you can bypass purgatory and get straight to heaven. Does that help, Victoria?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Deacon Harold, and thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
You are most welcome, and thank you for calling. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy with my very special guest, Patrick Novakoski, who's going to be on live with Father Mitch Paqua tonight on EWTN Live, talking about what we're talking about today, St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. If you have any questions about St. Faustina or Divine Mercy or John Paul II, and his relationship to St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, we would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, Patrick, with regard to, we mentioned in the last segment of the show about this kind of resurgence or this free interest in Divine Mercy as both of us travel. And so, again, we're seeing this resurgence of Divine Mercy and devotion to St. Faustina. And I think, now I'd love to get your take on this. For me, I think You know, because we had the atheism and, you know, this kind of after 9/11, this huge resurgence of atheism, the neo-atheism, and then more relativism, all this kind of stuff. But now I've been noticing over the again, post-pandemic, especially during the past year or two, that there seems to be a slow turn away from that, especially young people recognizing, you know what, you know, atheism can't answer the deepest longing and questions of my heart as to why. Yeah, okay, maybe science can explain about the Big Bang, whatever, but why am I here? Why do I exist? What is my purpose? You know, I think turning back to divine mercy for a lot of people can help them to understand their purpose and who God created them to be. You know, yeah. What are some of your thoughts on,
yeah, John
on,
Paul
on this
II,
resurgence?
John Paul II said that he told young people this all the time, the answers to the deepest longings of your heart can only be found in Jesus Christ. And that resonates because once people, and you know this, and I think most of our listeners know this, that once you give Jesus a chance to enter your heart, there's something happens that is almost irreversible, that you get a sense of the divine, of this reality of Jesus that you can't shake it. You can turn away from it. It's like light, you know. And the thing about the divine mercy, the growth of divine mercy, there is something miraculous in the image of divine mercy, something supernatural. You know, we have the Guadalupe image that is a miraculous image. We have the Shroud of Turin, a miraculous image. The third one is, even though it was painted by a human hand, it was directed by a saint according to what she saw. Some of your listeners might know this, but while that painting was being made, Faustina was so sad. She went to Jesus and she cried. She said, "How no one can paint you as beautiful as you really are. This is just not even close to being as amazing as what I've seen with my own eyes and my own heart." But at the same time, there are graces attached to seeing the reality of Jesus in this image that it penetrates our souls. So I love that when there are billboards of the divine mercy image, that is attractive. And ultimately, Jesus is ultimate reality, but he is ultimately the most attractive thing to the human soul that you could even think of. There's nothing more beautiful and attractive than Jesus Christ. And to see him, and this is another neat thing about the miraculous images. When I worked for the Marians, they constructed this light box, and they would overlap the Divine Mercy image with the Shroud of Turin image. And when they brought up the light, the faces matched perfectly. It was just awe-inspiring. So they are the same Lord Jesus Christ, without a doubt. That's really where I think the heart of this is, that Jesus is ultimate reality and so attractive to the human soul.
I absolutely agree. Couldn't agree with you more. We're talking with Patrick Novakoski today about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. If you have a question about St. Faustina, Divine Mercy, John Paul II and Mercy, or if you just want to share with us your experience with the power of divine mercy in your life, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on Beacon of Truth today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Regina is calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on The Rock. Regina, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi.
Hello. Great to hear from you.
Oh, thanks. I was wondering if you can go to confession the week after Divine Mercy Sunday and it counts towards the planetary indulgence.
From what I understand, like, I'm just going from memory here, because for me, I was immersed in this 25 years ago, but I believe that it is within a week of Divine Mercy Sunday to receive the graces of Divine Mercy Sunday. Yes, within a week.
That's
okay,
correct.
Wonderful. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wondered. I appreciate your time.
Oh, you're most welcome, Regina. Call back anytime. We love hearing from members of the Beacon of Truth and EWT Radio family. Again, we're talking with Patrick Novakovsky about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sue is calling from Galesburg, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 130. Sue, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you. Great to hear your voice.
So glad you called.
I'll go ahead with my comment first. My priest told me to read the Divine Mercy and the Second Greatest Story Ever Told, the book, which I just thought was life-changing. It's like, I don't know, God working so hard through the last centuries, especially in Poland, and with John Paul and Faustina, and then he basically said that this is a time of mercy for us. This is a gift. And so to live our lives the best we can now, and I just thought that was really exciting. So I bought all the DVDs, and I taught a class, and then I've shared them to different places, and it's a wonderful thing. And if anybody wants to get it, Father Michael Gately wrote it. It's wonderful. And the other thing is, I was listening to Father Wade, I think it was yesterday, and he said that, let's see, the difference of the Divine Mercy indulgence and all other indulgences is that you do not have to be completely detached from sin on that day, that special day. And he also said that all indulgences you can go to confession within 20 days, except for First Fridays and I think Saturdays. So I'm just a little bit confused again because that's what I heard yesterday.
Yeah. I think we should have added a clarification. I think on Divine Mercy Sunday, you can receive the plenary indulgence without being fully detached from all sin. So a normal indulgence, like for the Jubilee Year of Mercy, as Patrick was talking about before, you go to one of the churches or one of the holy sites somewhere, like in the Holy Land or Italy or anywhere, or even in the United States, a church that's designated as one of the pilgrimage sites in your local diocese there. So in order to get the plenary indulgence or the partial indulgence, you'd have to, again, go to Mass, receive communion, go to confession, pray for the Pope. But for the Divine Mercy indulgence, I think on Divine Mercy Sunday, if you do those things and pray the chaplet, you can receive the plenary indulgence without having the complete detachment to sin. So I think that's part of it. Patrick, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Does that help, Sue?
Yes, a lot. And I love this conversation. Thank you so much for all of your knowledge.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. Love to hear from you. And we're waiting to hear from you as well. We're talking with Patrick Novakovsky, whose Father Mitch Pack was guest tonight on EWTN Live. You don't want to miss it. And he's going to be talking about St. Faustina and Divine Mercy. So if you want to share with us your thoughts about Divine Mercy or your devotion to St. Faustina or John Paul II and the connection with St. Faustina and Divine Mercy, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. John is calling from Georgia, listening on the EWTN app. John, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
How are you?
Doing well, my friend. Now and doing better from hearing from you.
Oh, God bless you. I'm a Catholic all my life. I think I was baptized back during World War II when my daddy was in the service, and they had got, my parents had got a divorce, which I didn't know. I was only about a year old. But anyway, my grandmother raised me because my daddy went to the war. And when he came back, well, she has both baptized at the church, me and my older brother, but she's 14 months older than me. And she has both baptized as a Catholic at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Savannah. And that's where I was raised at. Well, and I was in always in the church and everything. And things happened, and I don't want to go through my life story right now, but what I was calling about was St. Faustina. I keep hearing her name a lot anymore, and I don't know much about her. And I heard you just say that it was a priest or one of the workers that got his heart and head, one of the miracles on her feast day. And I had an exam, and I'm 88 years old, and maybe it's time for me to go anyway, but I've got so many things. I still work. I work every day right now. I work at a drive a school bus right now for one of the colleges that's a retired student. But anyway, I was trying to see if I could get my heart repaired or something, or if it's time for me to go, and I won't know that unless I could try to ask her to pray for me.
Oh, so okay. So you want to talk about how to pray through St. Faustina
I think he was asking about who was St. Faustina. And I had mentioned that the priest whose heart was healed for the canonization miracle. So I'll start a little bit. St. Faustina was a religious sister with the Sisters of Mercy in Poland. She was born in 1905. She died in 1938. While she was in the years prior to her death, 1931 to 38, I believe it was, Jesus appeared to her, and she wrote her miraculous these appearances in a diary called it's published as the Diary of Saint Faustina. Two of the things that Jesus asked of her: one was to have an image painted according to what she saw, how she saw him. We call that the Divine Mercy image. She also asked that the second Sunday of Easter be declared Divine Mercy Sunday. And 25 years ago today, Pope John Paul II made that happen. The Baltimore priest who was healed according, for the canonization miracle was actually the pastor at the diocesan shrine to Divine Mercy in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He had a heart ailment. And the way Father Ron explained this to me, he said that if you take a balloon and you blow it up, you can never get it back to the way it was. Well, a portion of his heart had kind of expanded, so he had to take medication every day to control his heart to make sure that it worked properly. And on St. Faustina's feast day, probably would have been 27 years ago, some of his parishioners had a relic of St. Faustina, and they prayed over him. And he went back to his room, and he remembered that he had forgotten to take his medication that day. So he took his medication, and he had a bad reaction to it. The next day, he went to his doctor. They examined his heart. They said, "Father Ron, your heart's normal." And he said, "Well, it can't be. My heart's never been normal. It had been decades that he had this heart ailment." So he went to his cardiologist and did a bunch of tests and exams and found out, sure enough, his heart had returned to normal. And then he remembered, of course, being prayed over on St. Faustina's feast day with the relic. So they started documenting this, looking at his health history and putting together a dossier, sent it off to the Vatican. It was approved, and that was the canonization miracle for St. Faustina. I got to be very good friends with Father Ron. As a matter of fact, this was a story I wanted to interject, and I'll make it quick because I think we're ticking on time. But one of the cardiologists that examined the findings is he's now today the president of Mount Sinai Hospital, Heart Hospital in Manhattan, one of the country's most preeminent cardiologists. And he was at Faustina's canonization, and after the Mass, he went to lunch with John Paul II. And during lunch, April 30th, 2000, John Paul pulls him aside, engages in conversation, and says, his name is Dr. Valentine Fuster. He tells Dr. Fuster, "This is the happiest day of my life." And I said, I interviewed Dr. Fuster just about 6 months ago, and he said, I asked him, I said, "Did he tell everybody?" And he said, "No, he just told me. He said it was the happiest day of his life because he was able to declare Divine Mercy Sunday a universal feast in the Catholic Church forever." What a gift.
How beautiful is that? So, Patrick, how can people get a hold of you in case they want to learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find me at patricknowakoski.com. That's hard to spell. So go to booksbypatrick.com, and you'll find out more about me there. You can find me on social media, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
Excellent. All right. Well, tomorrow, my friends, we're going to talk about the truth of the resurrection, how we know for sure that Jesus rose from the dead. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.